I was thinking about this Sunday 13 years ago, and our kids were 5, 7, 9, and 11, and they were so excited. You know, it's a big thing. We'd always been pastors, but we'd been children's pastors or associate pastors, and we'd never been head pastors, and there's always that moment when you get to sit down your kids and say, guess what? We're starting a church. And they have been excited since day one. For 13 years, our kids have walked into this building, well, not this building, but into our church building, wherever it's been, and there's a smile on their face. I've had friends that say, how do you get your teenager up out of bed on Sunday? And I'm like, mine are up before me on Sunday, getting ready. We've never, ever had them be arguing or complaining about coming to church. They're just as excited about this as we are. And that's when you know the Lord's hand is in something, when the whole family can be excited about something. And it hasn't always been easy. There's been rough times, but through it all, God has just blessed our family with an anointing to be able to serve. And we love to come and do this every week. So this is not a drudgery for us. This is a joy. Somebody say joy. And when you can do your ministry in joy, and even your children are in joy with you doing it, God's going to do something. Amen? And I was thinking back of all the miracles. There are people. Does anybody remember the man, now, Tony? We prayed for him. I think it's been, you were in sixth grade. So how old were you in sixth grade, Lindsay? 12? And she's 22. So it's been 10 years. 10 years ago, we prayed for a man named Tony. He was a really good friend of mine's husband. They had given him a death sentence. He had cancer in his throat. Anybody remember that? He had gone to a specialist. They'd actually moved to Chicago to go to a specialist clinic there. They told him it didn't look good. Guess what? We saw Tony last year at a track meet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, this is why it's so important when God brings a group together. And Tony is just one of probably hundreds that we have had. Hundreds and hundreds of stories of people who had something that was life-threatening that God healed them. Amen. So there is a reason why God brings people together. Amen. And you can't look at the size in the natural, because I believe when the Lord looks at Redeemed Church, he says, "Ooh, look at that. Look at the strength. Look at the power of prayer." And that's why he sends people to us. That's why he sends people to you for us to pray for. Why? Because we're willing to believe for anything. Amen. There is not a mountain that's too big. Amen. And I feel like it's so important that we understand how powerful that we are as a church. And think about missions. How many thousands of dollars have gone into missions from this church? Lives that were touched and changed all around the world because we gave. And you may say, well, we're not as big as a big... You know what? I've talked to pastors and we give more than a lot of big churches. That's because God has placed it in your hearts to sow. Amen? And we are looking for a harvest. And I believe that this year is going to be the beginning of change. You know why? Because of the number 13. And I'm going to begin to share this with you. The number 13. The meaning of the number 13, I'm reading from I knew I was not going to be able to say it. Numerology, that's what it is. And it's from a rabbi site that I went to, because you know what? When you're looking into the Bible, if you want to know what things mean in the Bible, you've got to go back to the source. And the source of this is Hebrew. That's just the way it is, okay? And so we're going to look at what the Hebrews said about the number 13. And he said, when the number 13 is found, it's because it's containing two numbers, the numbers 1 and 12, and they are combined. Number 12 refers to the number that is known as the people of God. Somebody say people of God. And the number 1 always relates to God himself. Say God himself. Therefore, the number 13 speaks of, watch this, the unity between the people of God and God himself coming together. Woo! I'm telling you, this number is not unlucky. But so often the devil comes to take something that is beautiful, something that the Lord has an anointing on, and he does what? He twists it. He twists it. If you'd have told me 10 years ago that the rainbow would have been something negative, I would not have believed you. I wouldn't. Because the rainbow is a symbol. But I was thinking about this morning. The devil really, he just cheated himself. Because, you know, they've taken the rainbow to mean something else now. But you know what? When I was thinking about this morning, when I was getting ready, I said, Lord, really, he just works against himself. Because every time there's a rainbow with someone with an alternative lifestyle, the Lord is reminded blatantly, I will not send anything to destroy. So it's literally a symbol of grace. The theme that they chose is grace. The theme they chose is grace. I thought, Lord, how awesome is that? Right? So what do? The world takes, pagan world took the number 13 and made it something bad. Friday the 13th. Scary, awful, right? Number 13, ooh, that's an unlucky number. Guess what? That is not the truth. And that is not where you should be looking about the numbers in your life, because it means something completely different. We are seeing it is about the unity between God and his people. Now look at this. This is, okay, so I'm going to tell you some things about the number 13. And I'm very excited, okay? Because God has a purpose. Say God has a purpose. And he has a plan. And he is perfect with this stuff, okay? So we start with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Right? These are the three patriarchs, correct? Am I correct? Three patriarchs. In Hebrew, all of their names added together, guess what number it comes to? 13. 13. Now listen to this. Sarah, Rebecca, and then we know that Jacob had the oops and had two wives, right? But even in that, God saw ahead, and guess how much it when you add Sarah, Rebecca, Leah, and Rachel together? Guess what that number is in the Hebrew? 13. 13. All throughout Scripture, you can see where God was planning in advance. What was he planning? He was planning for unity with him and his people. All right, let's fast forward to Jacob. Now, most of you know that there are the 12 tribes of Israel, correct? Okay, so I want to stop and I'm going to shake your religious world. Are you ready for this? Jacob thought he lost Joseph. When he got to Israel, what did he say? He said, your sons are now my sons. So Joseph was lost. You don't see the tribe of Joseph. What do you see? The tribe of Ephraim and Manasseh. Not Ephraim. Yes, okay. Ephraim and Manasseh. So how many tribes is that? 13. When you bring them into, isn't this mind-boggling stuff? Okay, now let's fast forward. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay, oh, Jericho. So we're at Jericho. See, there's a reason why God wants unity with his people. There is blessing in unity, but there's also victory. So let's go to Jericho. How many times did the Lord tell him to march around Jericho? Okay, so the first 6 days, how many times did they go? So that's six. Somebody remember six. On the seventh day, how many times did they march around the city of Jericho? So 6 plus 7 equals 13. When you are obedient and you walk in obedience, there is victory for you. This wasn't just about walking around. I got so excited when I saw this because this is powerful revelation for us. The number 13, when they walked around that last time, that 13th time, God and his people were united and the walls of Jericho couldn't handle the uniting of two things. It couldn't handle it. It was destroyed, wiped out. Is this awesome or what? So exciting. Okay, so 13 is also a number that's associated with the mercies of God, the love of God, and the unity of God, the oneness. So we look at, if it's related with God's love, what is the love chapter in the Bible? 1 Corinthians 13. Are you listening? 1 Corinthians 13. What is this telling us? God is wanting to unite with you and I. Amen? But the most powerful one that I realized this week, how many disciples were there? 12. That represented the people of God. With Jesus coming together made it 13. So the literal God joining his people coming together made 13. This is like, whoa, God, you're so awesome. But there's one more piece. I'm trying to be quick. There's one more piece. When a Hebrew boy turns 13, he is no longer a child. He becomes a man. And there is a ceremony, okay? So what does this all mean for us? This means as we move forward in this year, God is saying to Redeemed Church, I am uniting with you this year. Are you going to unite with me? We need to make sure that we're keeping ourselves pure before the Lord. Don't let sin stay on you. Don't let depression and weight stay on you. This is an important year. Why is it an important year? Because this year, Redeemed Church is no longer a child church. This year is a transformation when this church walks into the next section of life to fulfill the destiny that God has for it. Is that awesome? So we are doing a celebration today. Why? Because we are recognizing our church has made it past the point of childish ways. And now we are stepping in to the destiny and the calling that God has for us. Because we choose to be united with the Lord. So what is the main way? And I know a lot of people go, oh, you're going back to this again. But yes, I am. Because your money is what will rule you. Your money is the gateway to sin. Your money and the love of it will lead you astray. So it is always important that we come back to this issue. If you want to be truly united with the Lord, then you have to be a tither. You have to be a tither. You have to be a tither. Why? Because it keeps you in that unified place where you are with God and there's nothing holding him back. When you don't tithe, you step out from under his umbrella of blessing. It's not that he's bringing things to destroy you. It's you have stepped outside yourself. Super easy fix. Step back in. Start tithing. It is not complicated. It is so easy. You step back into the blessing of God and you stay in the flow of what God is doing. You may say, well, it's just 10%. No. It's so much more than that. He asked for your 10% because he has blessings that you can't imagine and you cannot count. There are not numbers that are created yet for the blessings that God has for your life. Amen? And that's why it's so vitally important for us to understand the power of tithing. God is saying to us, I have given you a door to constantly stay in connection with me, to constantly stay united. And even though it's only a tenth, it is the portion he's asked for. And when you are obedient and you join with him every Sunday to give your tithes and offerings, walls like Jericho are falling down because of your obedience. They're falling down because of your obedience. He's lining things up in your life. And you may say, well, God doesn't care about the details. Really? Really? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob makes 13. Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah, that makes 13. I don't know about you, but I don't think those moms sat around and thought, let's see, how can we make all these kids equal out to 13? No. But God himself cares about the details. Why? In the theme of the whole, of all the number of 13, what is his heart? To get something from you, right? He wants to punish you. He wants to make you stay in line. He's after you. No! What is 13 all about? Not fear. not anxiety. It's not about being unlucky. What is it about? Unity with God and the blessing that comes, the love that pours out, the victory that pours out, the breakthrough that pours out when you are combined with Him. Amen? This is such a revelation. So this next year, as we move forward, I want you to think about a couple things. First of all, stay connected. Stay connected. Give your tithes and your offerings. Be obedient. That's really what it is. Be obedient to what He's asking you to do. The second thing is stay clean before Him. We're all going to fall short of the glory of God. We're all going to make mistakes. But the point is, deal with it right away. Don't let it just drag on in your life. Don't hold it in there. If you get offended at someone, oh, Lord, forgive them. Forgive me. Deal with it right there on the spot. And then the third thing is be watching for what God has next. Not just for us as a church, but for you as a people. As Steve said, we are the church. And this is our 13th year. This is the year that God is going to be revealing to us what is next. It's the year of accountability, where we're going to be responsible for our actions because we are going to make good choices and we are going to do good things for the Lord. Amen? Amen. Wow. Is anybody excited about 13 now? Run home and tell everybody you know, guess what? Guess what? It's a good number. It's not a bad number. Amen? Amen. Grab your tithes and offering this morning. Father, I just thank you so much for just your faithfulness in our lives, Father, and just that you have such an amazing plan for us. I thank you, Lord, that it's a plan that is for good and not for evil. It's a plan with a hope and a future. And part of that, Father, is our part of being obedient to what you've called us to do. And you called us to tithe. And so, Lord, I pray today that there are people in this room that are not tithing, that you would stick that in their heart and they would not be able to get away from it, but they would become tithers and givers, that we would be obedient to whatever it is that, Lord, you've called us to give. And, Father, I just thank you that you would give us wisdom. Don't let us be changed or altered in our opinion of numbers or letters or words or symbols because of what the world says about them. Let us boldly stand in faith, Father, based on what your word says and what your teaching says about the things that you gave us. Because, God, all things come from you. Even numbers, you put that into someone's mind because you had a plan before anyone even knew about numbers. And, God, I pray today as we enter into this 13th year, I praise you, Father, for the supernatural transformation of this church. From children to adults spiritually. Even the church itself, Father, is going to be seen as an adult. It's going to be seen as someone that provides, someone that takes care, someone that's responsible, someone that looks out for others. And I pray, Father, you would use our church to be a blessing in this next season. Father, I thank you so much for your faithfulness. Bless every seed that is sown today and bless the sower. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Let's pray over this message and we'll get right into it. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. We thank you for these 13 years of ministry, Father God. We rejoice in it. We thank you for it, for your faithfulness, for your provisions, for your guidance, for your leadership, for your callings, for your anointings. And we give you the praise, Lord God. We understand, Lord, that we are a part, we are just a part of a bigger picture of your church across the world. And we rejoice in it, Lord, for this region of the country that you've called us to. We know, Jesus, that you have a plan for the greater Northwest area, the Oregon, Washington, just the entire West Coast, Father God. We declare kingdom of God come, will of God be done. In this region, in this community, the greater Portland, Vancouver area and surrounding regions, God, in all the communities and regions that we all represent here today. And we give you the praise. Satan's plan will fail and God's plan will succeed. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen and amen. Well, I had to use that image today, and you'll understand more about that later. But what a tremendous ministry Oral Roberts over the years, and that's from back in the 50s. He had a tent that would seat 12,000 people, right? And I was watching a video on YouTube last night of one of those crusades, and you couldn't see the end. It was just a sea of people. And just a remarkable, truly remarkable ministry. But I want to spend some time today talking about that term. We'll get to it. But somebody say, burst out. Burst out. In Isaiah 54, you can turn there. We'll get to there in a minute. But that is a burst out chapter in the Bible. And the reason why I felt drawn to Isaiah 54, Shelley talked about our churches turning 13. Well, I turn 54 in the next week. So I'm kind of running out of Bible books to draw numbers from anymore. I don't think any of us will get out of Psalms. So just whatever year you are, look at the Psalm or find a chapter in the Bible, right? And Jesus is coming soon. But I felt drawn to look at Isaiah 54 for my own life. And I believe for this ministry, and I believe for your life. Somebody say, it's a burst out year. And that's a lot of aligns right along with what Pastor Shelley was just sharing. Amen? But the foundation text for this church, Redeemed Church, glory to God, has always been Psalm 107, verse 2. And it says this, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Somebody say, I am redeemed. I am redeemed. Glory to God. What's that mean? That means I don't belong to the devil. I don't belong to hell. I don't belong to drugs. I don't belong to perversions. I don't belong to depression. I've been redeemed from that stuff, and I've been redeemed to Jesus. It's not just what I've been redeemed from. It's what have I been redeemed to. Glory to God, right? And it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has. Somebody say, he has. How many know we couldn't do this ourselves? Isn't that just the glory of the gospel? And I did a study a number of years ago on a number of the different common religious faiths, but specifically not in the nuts and bolts of them so much, but where's the redemption? Because isn't that why people turn to religion? There's something wrong with me, and I need to fix it. Right? And every one of those other religions will give you a way that you can fix yourself. Right? Spin enough beads, climb enough stairs, make sure your karma is good. Right? All these things that they do. Light enough candles, knock on enough doors. But it's all really rooted in pride, isn't it? Because there's nothing Steve could ever do to fix himself, to make himself worthy of heaven and, you know, eternal life, all these kind of things. Jesus, somebody say, Jesus did that for me, right? I couldn't do it myself. So it's really rooted, all the other religions of the world really are rooted. That's why you can say they're doctrines of demons and doctrines of men, because they're rooted in pride. This one, you come and you surrender pride. You say, you know what? That was the original sin of the devil, wasn't it? Pride was found in him. And he started asking, what would this place be without me? Somebody say that's not the question to ask, right? No. Praise God for our Redeemer. The blood of Jesus Christ was required to wash me clean of every sin. And that's something I could not do myself. Glory to his name forevermore. So let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That's what we're saying. Somebody say that's what we're saying. The blood of Jesus was required. I am responsible for the death of an innocent man. My sins put him on the cross. Now that's a sobering thought, but it's the truth, right? My sin put him on the cross. But it didn't end there. Glory to God. 3 days later, he gloriously raised again from the dead. And he's not pointing a finger of condemnation to any human being on the planet. No, he's not doing this. He's doing this. If you've ever been in a building that's on fire, right? And the fireman is climbing up the ladder. And there's someone hanging out the window. He's coming to do what? To get them out of danger. That's called, that's a rescue. That's another word for redeemer. He is the divine rescuer. And the church, guess what the church is? The church is like the Coast Guard. The church is like a battleship. We are out there to shut the devil's work down and save people in this planet, to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Amen? So let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Praise God forevermore. And make no mistake about it, there is an enemy. We're not here to preach the enemy, but to act like there is no enemy. We live in a region of our country that there are people that want to believe there is no thing such as evil. That if you think there's such thing as evil, then you're evil. And we don't need police officers. And we don't need law and order. Right? That comes from the devil. Because he is the lawless one. Glory to God forevermore. But praise Jesus for a president right now in office, and a vice president, and a house speaker, and a military, right, that gets these things. And a lot of people that are in our leadership right now, that there has been a change. And let's not forget July 13th a year ago, what happened? When they tried to assassinate Donald Trump. And one of the scriptures in Isaiah 54 is this: no weapon. Somebody say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And I believe the greater picture was no weapon formed against the United States because of the prayers of the saints. Right? And he has put some of these people, Donald Trump is no exception, he's put some of these people in office for such a time as this. Glory to God forevermore. And we ought to rejoice every day. I do. I just get up and I say, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus, for Donald Trump and J.D. Vance and Mike Johnson. Glory to God. And all their cabinet and all their, you know, administrations and all these things. We are, and praise God for Bibi Netanyahu and the Israeli Defense Forces. And you know what I'm saying? We ought to be thanking God for these people. Glory to God. They are literally working for and with the Redeemer. Hallelujah. Praise his name forevermore. But the word redeemed means things like to buy back, to deliver, the deliverer, amen. God is our deliverer. To purchase, to ransom, to be an avenger. Glory to God. He is our superhero, amen. And I really felt drawn to the word say in this, when it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And that is the same word that is used in the Hebrew, that is used in Genesis chapter 1, when it says, and God said. Now that's a powerful thing when you think about it. So when you say, I am redeemed, that's a powerful statement. And we need to be saying that often. Loud enough that the devil can hear. Loud enough that diseases can hear. Amen. Glory to God forevermore. Amen. Somebody just say it. I'm redeemed. And I say so. Glory to God. The word say means answer. It means call. It means challenge. How many know there are things that the devil tries to do that just simply need to be challenged? I'm starting to think about NFL now again. It's middle of July, and I start thinking about football's coming, but remember now the coaches have that red flag. If it's a bad call, they can challenge the call. And we can throw the red blood and just say, you know what? Cancer, disease, sickness, sin, addictions, Satan, I challenge you to what you're trying to do based on the authority I have in the blood of Jesus. And that's, I challenge it. Glory to God, right? It means charge. It means command, declare. These are great things to meditate on. It means name. It means speak. How many know we have to be people that know how to speak faith? How to use words of faith? Gone are the days where you can just be a quiet little Christian. Don't you know the devil likes quiet little Christians? Because they don't bother him. It's the ones that begin to speak the word of God, because words are spirit. Right? Somebody say, use your words, man. Use your words. Speak. Speak words of faith. Speak words of redemption. Tell the devil how it's going to be. We're not asking God to be something he already is. Would you please be my redeemer, Lord, from that situation? He already is my redeemer. He's expecting me to say it. Somebody say it. Use your words. Hallelujah. And the word enemy means words like adversary. How many know the devil is always adverse, opposite to God? Darkness to light, evil, good, lie, truth. He is the father of all lies. Amen? He's the opponent. He actually is the defeated opponent. Right? Enemy also means words like distress, affliction, anguish, a tight place, sorrow, trouble. He's redeemed us from that stuff, from the hand of sorrow, from the hand of trouble, from the hand of being in tight places. Yeah, but Pastor Steve, I got myself into this tight place. See, that's where we have to come back to the blood. When we realize that, for me at least, I don't know about you, but that's a lot of times where my faith tends to hit a wall, is when I realize I did this. I opened the door to that. Uh-oh. Well, if you open the door to it, what can you then also do? Close the door to it. And how do you do that? With your words. Repent. Confess. Oh man, Lord, I missed it right there. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I shut the door. If you're married and you have a spouse that loves God, then there's your prayer partner. Or you can send an email to us and ask for agreement in a situation. That's what the church is for. Keith Moore calls them faith buddies. Have a faith buddy. Someone that gets it. Amen. And you just come into agreement with the word of God and you confess that. Hallelujah. Confess what? Confess that I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed from that. And my Father's helping me to stop opening that door. If there's a door that needs to be shut, somebody say, shut it. Oh, I love that verse in Revelation that talks about the angel that takes the devil and wraps a chain around his neck. And it says he throws him into the pit and shuts him up. Somebody say, just shut him up. The devil is just a trash talker. All he can do, all he has is the power of suggestion. He's called the prince of the power of the air because he doesn't rule anything. He doesn't rule this planet. He doesn't rule heaven. He has nowhere to go. So he just has to float around in the air and pepper lies, these types of things. So what do we do with that? We rebuke him in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody say, use the name. Use the name of the Redeemer. I'm not rebuking him in the name of Steve or in the name of Steve's good karma. I'm not rebuking him because Steve passed out enough flyers or knocked on enough doors or lit enough candles or because Steve didn't say a cuss word all week long. Therefore, now sin and will affect my confidence. you know? Sinning will affect my confidence. But you know what you do? You come and you get the blood down and you repent and you get right back on it. Somebody say, just get right back on your feet. Right back on your feet. Glory to God forevermore. But if you have Isaiah 54, let me show you this real quick, because we're getting to Isaiah 54 now. And let's just read it for a minute. Somebody say, put the word first. Put the word first. Isaiah chapter 54. We're specifically going to look at verses 1 through 5 today in regards to you and in regards to this church. Not just because it's my birthday this week, amen. But it says this in my Bible, probably yours too. Sing, O barren, you who have not borne. Break forth, somebody say break forth, into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child, for more, somebody say more. More are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. And of course, this is a big, huge prophecy about the nation of Israel. But the Holy Ghost can also help us to see where we fit into this. For wherever you're at, take this for your own personal life. Things that you're believing God for, right? Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed. Neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. For you will forget the shame of your youth. Somebody say, forget it. Yeah. Hallelujah. How many know there's things we just need to forget? Yeah. Just forget about it, right? You will forget the shame of your youth. You will remember the reproach of your widowhood no more, for your maker is your husband. Hallelujah. The Lord of hosts is his name. And your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. For the Lord has called you like a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, like a youthful wife when you were refused, says your God. For a mere moment I have forsaken you, but with great mercies I will gather you. With a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. Hallelujah. Somebody say, everlasting kindness. Go down to verse 16. Behold, I have created a blacksmith who blows the coals in the fire, who brings forth an instrument for his work. That's a word that the Lord gave me years ago. I was probably a teenager. Sometimes he speaks things to us in our hearts about our own lives. And he told me this a lot of years ago. He said, you're my instrument. And I really didn't know exactly what that meant. But here's a scripture about that. Right? For one thing, I've learned over the years, it can mean like a surgical instrument. It can also mean a musical, like for making praise and worship to God. It can also be an instrument of battle. Right? Like a sword. Amen. So it's whatever he needs me to be, right? Who brings forth an instrument for his work, for I have called the spoiler to destroy. And here we go. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue, say every tongue, right? Which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me. And I say, praise God for that. Right? Their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Praise God forevermore. I love that. No weapon formed against you will prosper. And boy, did we see that a year ago today. Can you think how different things could be today if he had been assassinated? Not to say our hope is in Donald Trump. But he was a man God had raised up for this particular time. And what a job he is doing and the people around him. Glory to God forevermore. I've heard people kind of criticizing some things right now in returns to the Epstein files. Right? Well, they're not going to release the Epstein files. They're acting like it doesn't exist and there's nothing to see here. And they're sweeping it under the carpet. And this could be a negative on the Trump administration. Well, for one thing, church, to think about, I was thinking about this the past couple days. What do we know about President Trump? You really don't know what he's going to do. So if he's saying, move on, and some of these people that knowingly are on that Epstein thing, you're under arrest. Why would they tell you they're coming for you? Did he call Iran ahead of time? You know what I'm saying? We just have to trust the leadership that God and pray for them. That if there is something that needs to be dealt with there, and I believe there is, for the good of our nation, that it will be dealt with. But if there's nothing, if there legitimately is nothing, that it was all, you know, it's one of those things, right? But we pray, somebody say, keep praying that God will continue to shed light on things that need to come to light. Hallelujah. But don't be surprised. Don't be surprised, right? Glory to God. What a mighty God we serve. And these leaders. But just think how the man turned his head. I was almost going to put that picture up here, but this one was more tight. The picture of him with his fist in the air, you know? And how just he turned his head a fraction of a millimeter. July 13th last year. Miracle, supernatural miracle of God. Hallelujah. No weapon formed against you will prosper, or your family, or your business, or your ministry, or your calling. Glory to God forevermore. That is the heritage of the family of God. It's in the family. Hallelujah. Amen. But let's look at these first few verses. Verse number 2 says this, enlarge the place of your tent. And that's what really brought me to the Oral Roberts ministry, right? Because I'm telling you, that's a large tent, and what a ministry that they had. In fact, I'm going to show you this little picture right now. In the year 2000, I got to meet Oral Roberts and Evelyn. They came and spoke at our church, New Beginnings Across the River. And I had just read his autobiography, and they were just sitting back in the green room. And I strolled back in there. I was a children's minister at the time. And I asked him to autograph the autobiography. And this is a picture of that. There was a nice one of the pastor's wives there that actually took the picture. There it is. So, yeah. I don't know if you can see that very well as a picture of a picture I took. But that's me, and Evelyn is she noticed I had a children's ministry name tag on, and she was a school teacher. So she was very blessed that I was teaching children. And this is the book that he has in his hand right there. I don't know if you can tell, it's kind of a ways out, but he's autographing this book for me. And it says right there, see, there it is. Yeah. And it says, he even dated it. July 2nd, 2000, but what a gracious couple. And look at, the things that God did through them and is still doing through them, even though they're in heaven, right? And he said to Steve, be a sower and a reaper always. Oral Roberts, Philippians 4:15. Isn't that cool? So just a great example. You know, and I remember hearing Jesse DePlana share just recently, because he came to our church in 2000, and he sat down the entire time to teach us. And I remember Jesse DePlana saying recently something I was watching that he had a close relationship with Oral Roberts too, and Brother Roberts was concerned that he should probably stop traveling around because he couldn't stand very long anymore. You should see how hard he worked in those years. I mean, every single one of those people, if they wanted hands laid on by him, he did it. lines of people. And he wouldn't just, in the name of Jesus, he would talk with them and interact with them and find out what's going on and then pray for them and the next person. I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of people he laid hands on. But so he got into his 80s and it's still in good shape, but he just had trouble standing to teach. And so Jesse told him, he said, Brother Roberts, just have him bring a chair. And he was like, I'm calling my secretary and having her accept every invitation from now. And he did. And that's what he did at our church that day, the picture. He sat in a chair, just like a grandfather, and taught us. Oh, it was the coolest thing. But what a great example of Isaiah 54, right? And verse 2 says this, enlarge the place of thy tent. And that tent was humongous. And that's back in the 50s, right? Amazing, right? Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords. I use the King James because we're going to do some word study here briefly as we get close to I can't really see the clock, so tell me what it is. 54? 54, right? Okay. I'm supposed to end a little early today because we have partying to do, but do you want to hear this? Yeah, so do I. Amen. Enlarge the place of thy tent. Let them stretch forth thy curtains of thine habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. Glory to God. And the word enlarge in the Hebrew means to broaden. So I declare that this ministry is broadening. Right? It means to make room. I declare there's room. We're making room. It means to make open wide. And I also declare this over you and whatever you're believing for personally in your life. Right? The word stretch means to spread out, to prolong. Oh, I love that word. I don't see a finish line. God is saying, this ministry has now been prolonged. Hallelujah. It means to offer. When we come in, we are offering God our services, whether we're setting up chairs, tearing down tables, greeting people at the door, worshiping God, cleaning something, teaching children or youth or whatever we're doing. It's an offer or giving financially. We're coming in here to offer our lives to Jesus, right? It means to cause to yield. We are yielding ourselves to Him. And as we're yielding to Him, the demonic forces in this region are going to be yielding to the Spirit of God. The word lengthen means to be long, to live. This ministry lives and will continue to live, and it will live long. In fact, our name has live in it, but it's pronounced live. Don't you forget it, right? And the word strengthen means to seize, to cure. How many know the church should be bringing cure, answers, right? Help, bringing help, repair, fortify, to bind. How many know part of our job is to bind the devil and bind up the brokenhearted? Hallelujah. To restrain. These are just great things to meditate on for your own life, right? The church is the restraining force on the planet. And the planet includes Vancouver and Portland.
Glory be to God.
Glory be to God is right. Amen. It means to conquer, right? To be constant, to continue. God is saying, keep going, church. To be of good courage. To encourage, to be you be encouraged yourself, but also be an encourager of other people in their faith, right? To be established, to fasten, to force. How many know we are forcing the devil out of town? Right? To maintain, to mend, to become mighty. Hallelujah. To prevail. To be recovered, to be stout, to be sure, to take hold, to withstand. And when I see this picture, I mean, is that what you're seeing in that picture right there, right? And in the spirit, I believe that's what's happening right here. And we can believe God to just keep adding and adding and adding and putting vision in people's hearts, dreams, visions, right? In every area of our lives. But that breakthrough spirit, you saw, I mean, the man touched my book. We had a point of, I know that sounds nutty to people. But how many know, if I was standing there with Madonna, you'd be like, oh, is that what we're hearing up here? Right? But no, Oral Roberts. And just in the past several years since we've been in operation here, and this is, I'm not bragging on me, I'm bragging on God. But we have gone to see in person Jesse Duplantis. He laid hands on me and I went down in the spirit. We went and saw Rick Renner. You guys were there at that same meeting. And he grabbed me. He just sensed that this is what we do. He said, what do you do? And I said, I'm a minister. And he said, bless this man's ministry. And I felt a rush of the Holy Ghost when he did that. And then when we saw Brother Copeland down in Anaheim, and I've never seen him do this ever. He probably has, but I've never seen it. When we got to Saturday's meeting, he wanted everybody to walk through and he laid hands on everybody and said, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of my whole family. Point of contact. And all those ministries I just mentioned are breakthrough, stretch out, go get it, kind of, it's that same spirit, right? Now, true, in this region, this ain't Texas, this ain't Oklahoma, right? Even Louisiana, it's Catholic, man. There's Catholic people. I mean, there's a respect, there's at least a respect for God. But God, somebody say, but God has called us here to this region. Hallelujah. And we take it wherever we go. We take this spirit wherever we go. Hallelujah. Now, verse 3, we'll end with this today. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. And this is really where the title of this message, Burst Out, came from. When it says to break forth, somebody say, break forth. Thou shalt break forth. And that means to break out abroad. I believe our global influence is going to grow. There'll be more missionaries and other people in other countries that we are able to reach out to, right? To burst out. I love that. Somebody say, burst out. Burst out. Hallelujah. To compel. And there it is. To grow. We're growing. Somebody say, this church is growing. Right? Our ministries are growing. Our businesses are growing. The faith in our families is growing. Everything that you're personally believing God for is growing. Amen. It means increase. Say increase. Right? To open, to urge. There's a compelling and an urging of people to come to Jesus. Amen. There's a pressing going involved. How many of you are going to be pressing with me? Pressing forward into the kingdom of God, pressing forward in faith. That means we're in the Word regularly. That means we're praying regularly. That means we're in church. That means we're not one way on Sunday and another day on Tuesday. We're pressing. We're pressing. We're pressers. We're forcing the devil out. And pressing into the kingdom of God, pressing into faith. Hallelujah. And that word inhabited means, when it says the desolate cities will be inhabited, it means to dwell, to remain. There it is. I love those words like prolong, be constant, continue. This is another one of those words, to remain. We're not moving from here. I'm not moving this church to Florida or Tennessee or Oklahoma. because there's more people like us there. No, I'm called to this region. I was born here. I was born in Best Kaiser, right? My mom remembers. She was there. Mom. Yes. And sometimes I start talking to the devil when I'm driving through Portland. And I'll say out loud, "For unto you, Portland, is born a child." And here I am. And I'm bringing Jesus to this region. I was born to serve here. Hallelujah. Which means you hold the key to some things. You have somebody say, "I have the key to the city." Glory to God. Amen. To dwell, to remain, to settle, to marry. That's one of the words for, you know, redeemed is kinsman redeemer. Read the book of Ruth. Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. The world chews people up and spits them out. And they need a husbandman to come along and say, "You know what? I'll receive you. I'll heal you. I'll restore you." Glory to God forevermore. It means to abide, to continue, to endure, to establish, and also means place. We have a place in this world. Michael W. Smith has a song, "I'm looking for my place in this world." How many know we have a place, and it is here, and it is now. But I'm believing him for more places, bigger places, our own places. Hallelujah. A divine footprint. Rick Renner calls buildings and properties an anchor. Glory to God. Amen. And Shelly and I, you know, I know I've heard Brother Copeland say this as we close, but we commit ourselves to keeping this ministry pure. She talked about purity, right? Pure on the Word of God. Amen. Pure financially and pure sexually. Right? We commit to be people that do that. Right? Hallelujah. Why don't we all stand up and we're gonna pray and just rejoice. Amen. Right, Luke? We're gonna rejoice. I was showing Luke this CD. I heard Jerry Seville talk about this comedian from the 50s. His name's Dave Gardner. And I found some of his stuff, and it is hilarious. Rejoice, dear hearts. You should look it up. It's hilarious. Especially his story about Caesar. It is awesome. It's funny when you hear these guys, you know, preaching for so long, and they talk about somebody that was back then, and then somehow you get connected to that thing, and it's like, oh, now I know what they're talking about. It was great. Rejoice, dear hearts. Amen. Glory to God. Somebody say, "I'm bursting out." Glory to God. Amen. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this word today. We receive it. We're excited about it, Lord. We're engaged and we're excited and we're enlarging and we're pressing in. Thank you, Father God, for keeping us hungry. We choose to stay hungry. We choose to stay committed. We choose to stay constant in our faith and to forget about stuff. I believe maybe there's a few of us today that we just need to forget about something, some failure, some flop, something that's bothering us. Just take a moment right now and take care of that in your heart to say, "Jesus, I release that right now. I forget it. I forgive. I receive my forgiveness. I close the door in the name and by the blood of Jesus. And I receive everything that you spoke of today, Lord." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We say again, kingdom of God come, will of God be done on earth as it is in heaven, in every area of our lives. And we rejoice in these words today, Father. We celebrate 13 years completed of ministry here at Redeemed Church. And wherever anyone else that's hearing this message, wherever you are in your life, there is a breakthrough spirit coming on you to stretch out, to break forth, to grow, to prosper, to increase. We release it now. We release it now and we receive it. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, praise you, Lord, for the angels that are listening and acting on these words and drawing in resources. Brother Roberts called them ideas, concepts, and insights. ICIs. We receive it by faith. Bless all the food we're going to eat today, Father. Bless our time together as we celebrate. In Jesus' name, amen.